witnessed a lot of you get birthed into the family of God. And sometimes, you know what, we just need to think back and be reminded and remind ourselves just how good God's been to us. And boy, I feel like he's been better to me than anybody else. And some of you probably feel that same way. But listen, I am very thankful this morning, and I appreciate y'all singing, and just had that song on my heart this morning. But anyway, Genesis chapter number, we're going to read in chapters 37 through 45, and I'm going to read a verse. You don't have to turn here, but I want to read a verse in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18, and then I want to just preach on a thought, give you about four things this morning, and then we'll go back to class. But go to Genesis 37 there, and we'll go back to Genesis 37 and Genesis 44, but I want to read one scripture. And then just pray again, and then we'll get into the message. But the Bible says in Psalms 34 and 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Father, this morning, help us, Lord, as we read and as we preach. I pray, Father, that you'd give me, Lord, exactly what I need, that I'd say nothing more, nothing less than what you'd have me to, Lord. And God, my heart's broken this morning for those that's here that's lost. And Father, I pray that you begin to deal with hearts right now, Lord. And God, just help me. And I ask for your touch. Lord, I'm nothing this morning without you. And God, I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible says here, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Jesus himself also said in John chapter 6 and verse 44, "Except you be drawn by the Father, you can't have salvation." I'm paraphrasing there, but the Bible says that there's got to be a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives before a person can come to know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "Listen, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you the Comforter." That is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But in our lives, listen, we do face valleys and we go through tough times, and we do need to be reminded. And then during those tough times, listen, we need to remind ourselves just how good God's been to us. And I know sometimes that's hard to do, but I'm really concerned this morning on those that are here that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And I want to be a help to everybody, and I think everybody can get something out of it this morning. But my heart goes out this morning, especially for those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And here the Bible is clear, and as it says, that the Lord is nigh to them that have a broken heart. You know what? Before I ever got saved, number one, I had to realize that I was lost. I had to realize that, you know what, that my goodness, that the good things that I do in life, and whatever my works were or different things, does not matter. I had to know the Lord Jesus, come to that point to where I realized I was a sinner, repent of my sins, and asked the Lord to save me. And then when I did that, guess what? I had a broken heart. I remember it very, very vividly, as it was just this morning, how broken I was that morning that the Lord saved me. And I know, listen, that all of us have different personalities. We have different experiences of salvation. Some may not just be overwhelmed with tears But I'm just saying that when we do get saved, there's something about that day that we'll remember. But here the Bible says that the Lord is nigh to them of a broken heart, and then save us such as of a contrite spirit. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought: have you had enough? Have you had enough? And what I'm really talking about here is, have you had enough of the lifestyle that you're living? Now, as I said already, I'm more concerned this morning about those that don't know the Lord. Are you tired of the lifestyle that you're living, that lifestyle that knowing, and some do know that they're not saved, but are you tired of knowing, hey, what if at any moment, and the Bible says that he's not a respecter of persons, God is not, and we don't know when we're going to die, we don't know what's going to take place in just a little while, tomorrow, but the Lord does. But I'm concerned this morning about those who know and realize that they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And I want to say this morning: the Bible says, "For behold, today is the day of salvation." And in a little while, and any time during this message, you can come while I'm preaching or whatever, but we'll give an invitation. You'll have that opportunity to trust Him as Lord of Saving. But have you had enough? I almost titled it, Enough is Enough. But and we can think back in our lives of probably different things that we've said, you know what, I've just had enough. And then we make a change. It may be that no matter what it is, a hobby or friends or different things, but in our life probably we've all come to a point where we've said, you know what, hey, that's enough. That's more, and all of a sudden we make a change. Well, listen, spiritually speaking, and most importantly this morning, let me say this. Listen, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, do not know Him, I sure hope that you can say this morning, hey, enough is enough. I am ready for a change in my life. But I want to use the story here of Joseph in chapters 37 through chapters 44 and kind of talk to you about a few things. But let me say, number one, that listen, God deals with individuals. I'm so thankful this morning, listen, that God deals with individuals. I remember in my life how he dealt with me, but let me just kind of bring you into it, just kind of fill you in the story here of Joseph's life and what's taking place and where we are. Now, most of us probably know, but Joseph, as a young boy, was sold into slavery. The Bible says that his father gave him a coat of many colors, and because of that, listen, his brothers were jealous of him, and Joseph had never done anything wrong. He went about, the Bible says, doing right, doing good, living righteously. But his brothers were envy of him, and they, that Bible actually said that they hated him. They were wanting to punish him, but anyway, he came one day. His father sent him to check on his brothers, and when they got there, and they the Bible says that they made a plan and divided that they were going to kill Joseph, because they were jealous of him. So that brings us to this point. Now, let me say this, that Joseph had many brothers, and Judah was one of them. And Judah, if not know if you know this or not, but Judah is the line in which our Lord and Savior came out of. But let me say this, God deals with individuals. And in this story, He deals with Judah in a very, very special way. Judah, as I said, would be the line in which Jesus came from. But over in chapters number 37, go to chapter 37 with me, and I want to read something to you here. Genesis in chapter number 37, in verse number 26, 37 and 26 says this, "And Judah said unto his brethren, What if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content." You know, they despised to start with that they was going to kill him. And then Judah spoke up and said, look, let's don't kill him, but let's just sell him. And in a roundabout way, he still had that same hatred in his heart that he wanted Joseph out of their life. They were all jealous of him. And you know what? Hey, they wanted him out of the picture. And he said, hey, let's sell him here to the Ishmaelites. And I want to think now, I'm going to be dealing with Judah this morning, okay? And at a point in his life, that he's going to say, hey, enough's enough. And maybe, but during the story, you can relate to certain things in your life where you say, you know what, hey, enough is enough. But let me say that when God is ready to work in our lives, He will deal with us in our heart, first of all. So many of us, and some of you in here, and it's the way I was when I got saved, you know what, I tried to figure everything out in my mind. I tried to picture or figure out, well, just how does this thing work? How is a person saved? How can we? Is there heaven? Is there a hell? Well, I tried to figure it out. I've been one that I try to figure things out. And for weeks there, I was just trying to figure this thing out. And all of a sudden, the Lord smote my heart, broke me. And I had that contrite spirit and that broken heart. And I got saved April 30th, about 8:45 in the morning, 200 Dixie Meadow Lane. And that morning, listen, my life changed forever. But when He's going to work in our lives, listen, He's going to work in our hearts first. And let me say this, whatever's really truly in our heart is going to come out in our lives. We can put on a front, say that we're saved, live a lie, and we can do those things. But sooner or later, you know what? Hey, what's in our heart will come out. But here in Judah, listen, in this story here, God deals with Judah specifically. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. The Holy Spirit, listen, was sent to lead us, to guide us. God said that, or Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. But you know what? Yet I will send you a comforter. And listen, I've often said this, and I've done the illustration before of, you know what? If I had to close my eyes right now and try to walk down these aisles and in between these pews without hitting, falling, or stumbling, you know what? I probably wouldn't be able to do it. But you know what? And I've used the illustration before of me placing my hand on somebody and walking behind them and having my eyes closed, but yet follow them, and we walk through the pew down and never hit anything. Why? Because I was being led by somebody who was looking out for me. And let me say, listen, in our lives, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's the way He wants to work in all of our lives. But listen, to those of us that aren't saved, listen, He can't do those things. Yes, the Holy Spirit puts us under conviction, but yet when we get saved, you know what? We still need to rely on Him to lead us and to guide us. But God deals with individuals. And here we're going to see, and throughout this story, that God deals specifically with Judah differently than anybody else, any other brethren that Joseph had. But let me say, number two, not only does God deal with individuals, but listen, we've got to understand that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. Now, I've said already that I'm one that tried to figure things out. And when I was lost for those few weeks there, I would sit at home at night as I lay down and throughout the day at work, and I would try to figure out just what the end. I tried to figure it out in my mind and my head. How can this do it? And notice I was trying to figure it out in my head, but yet I wasn't listening to what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell my heart, that I was saved and I needed a Savior. But the Bible says this, listen, in Isaiah 55, verses number 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And listen, we can't understand the way that God understands. We can't understand Him, yet we can read about. We can read in the Bible. We've got a picture of who He is, in a sense, a small picture of who God is. We know that He's God. He's always been. But you know what? We don't understand things sometimes when they come up in our life. And our ways are not His ways, and our thoughts are not His thoughts. And sometimes we struggle, and we wonder, hey, why does this happen? And why is this happening? And why did God allow this in my life? And what's going on here? And what's going on? But you know what? We've got to realize that, listen, God's ways are not our ways. And that's when faith comes in. And listen, the Bible says that we live by faith and not by sight. But let me say this. Until we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, our faith is not going to grow. The Bible says that we're born with a measure of faith. But you know what? As we're saved and the Holy Spirit begins to deal in our life and we grow as a Christian, and then when the Holy Spirit leads and guides us in those times, listen, we begin to grow. And He can lead us. Listen, God's ways are not our ways. Who would have ever thought that God would use Judah in such a way as He would use him? After it was his thought, his plan here, and to sell his brethren into slavery. And who was the one that took, Judah was also the one that even took his own daughter-in-law to be a harlot. And listen, Judah done a lot of things that was not right. He done a lot of things that were not pleasing to the Lord. But yet, listen, God used Judah. After all that He's done, the things that He's done, and let me say this, all of us are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means each one of us, all of us have. But in spite of Judah's past, in spite of his wicked ways that he had, in spite of all that he's done, that he did do, that may have been displeasing or was displeasing to the Lord, listen, God still used Judah. And let me say this morning. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter the life that you've lived. It doesn't matter, listen, what your lifestyle that you're in now. Hey, when the Holy Spirit deals with you, hey, you have that opportunity to repent, ask Him to cleanse you of your sins, to save you and be the Lord of your life. And at that moment, listen, there's a new beginning that takes place in your life. Some may say, well, Brother Greg, you don't know what I've done. Now, I don't know what some of you done. Some of you, I do know what you've done. But you know what? That's none of my business. And listen, the Lord's not concerned about what you've done in your past. Listen, that's in the past, you've done it. And you know what? There may be consequences for those choices that you make. He's concerned this morning of what we do from this moment on. Listen, we may be saved and just out of God's will, not living for Him, no, have no burden to do things for Him. We may have talents that God's give us. We're tired of using them. We don't want to use them anymore, whatever the case may be. But listen, God will still allow us, if we repent, you know what? He'll allow us to get back to that place that we can serve Him and that we're happy serving Him. But God's ways are not our ways. And let me say this, just as God used Judah, and throughout the Bible we see God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. God used Joshua to take over there when Moses died. And God used different men throughout the Bible. We read different people, and He used them. And listen, it doesn't matter what you've done, He used you. One of the things that I got stuck on when I was in addiction before I got saved is I kept thinking, well, there's just no way the Lord can save somebody like me. You know what, all that I've done, the things that I've done, and there's no way that save me. And that's what the devil was playing tricks on. You know what, that, hey, you're just fine, everything's going okay, you're fine, you don't need the Lord. But yet there was a drawing of the Holy Spirit in my life, and for weeks I was under conviction. And it came to that point finally where I said, you know what, enough is enough. Enough is enough. But let me say this, God wants to use you today. You know what? Number one, as I've already said in 2 Corinthians, I believe chapter 6, verse 1, I believe it is. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And you know what? Hey, what a greater time. No, not a greater time than today to accept Him as Lord and Savior. But listen, God wants to use you. Not only does He want you to come to know Him, and that's the most important thing, but hey, listen, He wants to use you in other ways also. You know what? He wants you to use you in spreading the gospel to others. You know what? Hey, I know what He did in my life. And you know what? I want everybody to know what He's did, the change that took place in my life. Hey, I want everybody to be able to feel what I feel inside of me and in my heart and in my spirit and how He's touched me. Listen, I want you to feel that. Hey, I want everybody to feel that. But listen, God can use you also. And hey, if we are saved and you are saved, listen, there ought to be something in your heart that, you know what, you want your friends to know that, to feel that, to experience it. You want your parents to, or whoever. You know what? You want to share your testimony with somebody else. I believe that with all my heart. But not only that, listen, God may, listen, choose to use you to encourage somebody. I tell you, listen, a lot of times, many times, you know what? Hey, here at school, I'm discouraged. And sometimes, you know what? People come by and maybe it's a teacher, it's a student, but may say something to encourage us, to encourage me. But listen, He wants to use us today for the gospel's sake. Listen, for encouragement, listen, whatever it may take. Hey, He may use it just to invite somebody to church. You may be uncomfortable witnessing to somebody about salvation, but you know what? Hey, everybody can say, hey, you want to go to church with me next Sunday? I'd love for you to come go to Sunday school, be in church with me. And you know what? While they're here, hear the gospel, fall under conviction, who knows what the Lord may do if we're just obedient with Him. But Judah here, listen, we get to the point here, we see that God deals with Judah in a special way, and He takes us back here, and he shows us in the Scriptures where Judah didn't have a life at times that were pleasing to God, but yet God still used him. I remember, as I said, hey, God can't use me, God can't save me, He doesn't want me. And then over in Romans chapter 5, I believe it's verse number 7, 6 or 7, the Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly. Hey, you may be sitting here thinking, you know what, Brother Greg, I'm ungodly. I don't know. You don't know what I've done. I've done all these things. And listen, I don't know it, and I don't care. Not that I don't care. I don't need to know. But listen, God's only concerned about you giving those things to Him. And from this moment on, listen, living a life that's pleasing unto Him. Let me say, have you had enough this morning? Have you had enough of whatever's going on? Have you had enough? Let me say, not only does God deal with individuals, and not only is God's ways not our ways, but number three, listen, God's desires is to bring us to a place of surrender. Listen, God desires today that each one of us come to a place in our life that we surrender. That's his goal. That's his wish today. His goal. If that's what he wants us to, we come to a place in our lives that we surrender. Go to back to Genesis chapter number 44. And I want to share a few things with you here. Genesis 44. But he desires today to bring us to the place of surrender. Now, I started out saying, and I still do believe this morning. Listen, there's folks here. Listen, you need the Lord. And listen, for you this morning, listen, God's desire is for you to get to that point that where you're at wit's end, hey, that you're just tired of the life that you're living, that everything that's going on, you're tired of it. You absolutely are just fed up with it. Hey, you're saying, okay, enough is enough. Hey, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. But God's desire is that he brings us to the place in our life that we're no longer worried about us and me and my and what I want, but yet we come to the point where we say, okay, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you. Listen, the greatest thing that you can do in here today is surrender your life wholeheartedly unto the Lord for salvation. And not only just for salvation, but yet surrender your whole life to him. Hey, you surrender your eyes to him, your ears to him, hey, your hands, your feet. You surrender everything that you got to him and say, Lord, hey, everything that I am, everything that I have, it's yours. Please use me in whatever way, whatever shape, whatever form that you want to. But listen, God will bring us to that place of surrender. Now, we know Judah here. He sold Joseph, and it was his plan to sell him into slavery. Now, Joseph was sold unto Potiphar, the Bible says, and then Potiphar's wife claimed that, kindergarten, y'all look at me here. Y'all look at me. Okay, look ahead. But he was sold unto slavery. And he was sold into Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of, you know what, of having an inappropriate conversation or action with her. And he was thrown into prison. And while he was in prison, the Bible says that God blessed him, and he gave him favor with the prison keeper. And you know what? After that, we see that he ends up under Pharaoh in Egypt. He's the number one guy under Pharaoh over all of Egypt. And there's a famine, and Joseph's brethren here now has come to Egypt to buy food, to buy corn, so that they don't die. They were out of food. And it brings us to this point here, and Joseph is in charge, and his brethren come before him. And as they come before him, Joseph realizes who they are, but they don't know who Joseph is at this point. But they came to a point that, you know what, Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers. And they knew who he was. And then they began to rehearse the things how bad they were to him. And here in chapter number 44, in verse number 14, the Bible says this about Judah. Now remember, Judah was the very one that said, hey, let's sell him. And he was one of the very ones that, listen, that hated Joseph and that despised him. And in verse 14 of chapter 44, the Bible says this, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Now listen, I'm talking, this is this thought, okay? God's desire is to bring us to a place of surrender in our life. Here in this scripture, we see that not only Judah, but his brothers too, but they come to the place where Judah said, hey, enough's enough, enough's enough, and he fell to the ground. And at that moment, you know what? Hey, what he was saying is I surrender. I can't help but think about the Apostle Paul and Saul of Tarsus there, how Saul there was a mean, wicked man, and how Saul, listen, he hated Christians. And you know what? Yet the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and verse 6, the Bible says that Saul fell to the earth. And here we see that they fell down to the ground. And that falling down, as we may see it in some old movies, a lot of times when people would come up to a king or a queen, they would bow themselves down before him in a sign of humility that, hey, I'm nothing, but I realize that you're everything. And here, that's what Judah was doing. It's what Saul did there when he fell to the earth and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? But it's exactly what Judah's doing here. As he said, Lord, I surrender. He said, I can't go on anymore. And I surrender. And he fell to the ground, the Bible says, here in verse 14. Let me say this. God's desire for your life this morning and tomorrow and every day from here on, God's desire is that we come to that point in our life where we surrender to Him. Listen, the greatest thing is surrendering for salvation. And that's really what that's really my heart's burden this morning is for salvation. But look, not only that, listen, God may have saved some of you, but yet you're not doing anything for Him. Let me say this, He didn't just save us for us to do nothing. You know what? God hates sin. He hates when we sin. He doesn't hate us. He hates to sin. But you know what? Listen, if God didn't have something for us to do and we know that He hates sin, why wouldn't He just call us to heaven when we're saved? The answer to that is, hey, listen, that He's got something for us to do. But listen, hey, are you at that point where you're ready to surrender? Number one, this morning, for salvation. Not only that, listen, are you ready this morning maybe just to surrender yourself to service? Listen, there's some of you in here, listen, I know without a doubt, some of you have even shared with me that you feel like God is leading you and dealing with you about certain things. Some maybe for preaching. Some think maybe even that God's called you to the mission field. You know what? Some of you has told me, hey, God's give you that gift of witnessing and soul winning. But I wonder, are we truly using what God's given us? Listen, God's give each one of us talents. You know what? And whatever that talent is in our life, listen, we better use it. You know what? Because if we don't, we can lose it. We can lose it. Say, some of you may be able to sing, and you know what? You just don't like to sing. God may use you to sing to break somebody's heart. You know what? And the Holy Spirit begin to deal with them. Hey, God may call some of you young boys to preach. You know what? If He does, listen, you need to surrender and preach. You know, whatever the case is, we need to come to that point in our life, listen, where we surrender to Him. And we see here that Judah fell down, brokenhearted. Listen, brokenhearted. He fell down to the earth, brokenhearted, and said, you know what? Hey, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I wonder this morning, are you at that point yet in your life where you're going to say, listen, enough is enough. You know what? I'm tired. I'm just tired of living this life. I'm tired of this and that. I'm just ready to surrender. I wonder if that's you this morning. Hey, have you had enough of what's going on? Have you had enough? Enough is enough. Hey, I remember in my bed that morning at home when I got saved. You know what? I said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Lord, I'm yours. I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Save me and be the Lord of my life. It's a short prayer, very short, sweet, but it was from my heart. I was broken. I had that broken heart, that contrite spirit, and that morning the Lord saved me. But you know what? It was about 3 years later that I truly gave every area of my life to Him. It was about 3 years later till I surrendered everything. Said, Lord, everything we got, everything that's ours is yours, Lord. Use us however you need to use our family. Whatever it is, Lord, everything's yours. You know what, Lord, you may be at that point this morning where you're just ready. God wants you to surrender to something specifically in your life that He's called or told you that He wants you to do. This morning will be a great morning to do that. But God brings us to that place of surrender. He'll do that. In that moment, listen, He won't force us to surrender. He will not pressure us. The Holy Spirit will convict us, but He will not force you. He will not force you to surrender yourself to Him for salvation, to service, or anything else. Listen, it's your choice this morning. Hey, it's your choice what you're going to do. You know what? I can't save you. I can't say a prayer that'll save you. But you know what? You can if the Lord's dealing with you. Hey, you know what? You can do that. And in a few moments, hey, I'll be more than happy to come down and show you in the Word of God how to be saved. You may be confused. Don't really know. Have questions. You know what? Hey, don't leave not knowing. Don't leave with wondering, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. You know what? Hey, we can settle some things this morning. But God brings us, His desire to bring us to that place of surrender. And let me say this, that our lives also affect the lives of others. Our lives also affect the lives of others. In chapter 44 of Genesis, in verse 31 through 34, the Bible says this, "And it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, and that he will die, and the servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. And for thy servant became surety for the lad unto the father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. And now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, and a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad not be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come unto my father. Let me say this. Listen, our lives affect others. And what happens right here in these verses is what Judah is saying. And Joseph had his men to place a cup in a bag of corn that Benjamin, the youngest brother, or one of his brothers, he placed that cup in that bag. And then when they left to go back home, he sent out his men to capture them and to check their bag. And when they found that cup in that bag, you know what? All of a sudden, they was like, please, please, you know, and Judah here, listen, Jacob's already lost Joseph, okay? Joseph, he thinks dead, okay? They thought he was dead. And yet Benjamin's the youngest son now, and Judah's saying, listen, I can't go back and tell my father that again his youngest son is no longer with him. He's not going to be able to come back. And he says, you know what? Hey, keep me as your bondman instead, and let my younger brother go back unto our father. And we get to that point to where Joseph reveals himself to him. Let me say this. Our lives affect others. Hey, the life that you live is going to affect somebody down life's road. Not only somebody, but it's going to affect many people. Hey, I said this last week. You older boys and girls, guess what? These young ones are looking up to you. You know what? They're watching you. They see how you carry yourself, what you do, how you act, where you go, what you say. You know what? They're watching you. You know what? We need to live a life before them. Not only before them, first of all, before God, but before our family, before our friends, before these young kids. We need to live a life that's pleasing to Him, because you know what? Our lives that we live will affect others. You know what? Hey, it can affect them for the good. It can. Hey, you get saved, you sell out for the Lord. Hey, you know what? You're just wanting to do whatever it is He wants you to do. I mean, you're sold out to Him. Hey, you're winning people. I mean, you're telling people about Christ. You're winning people to the Lord. You're reading your Bible. Hey, you're praying all the time. I mean, man, you're glowing. I mean, people see Christ in you. Man, what an influence you can be on somebody. But on the flip side of that, guess what? On the flip side of that, you know what? Not doing the things that you should do can be an influence on somebody also. But listen, my question this morning is this. Have you had enough? Hey, is enough enough? Are you at that point in your life, you know what, that you realize, hey, your ways are not God's ways and His are not ours. We can't understand what goes on and how things happen in our life. We can't understand God's ways. We can't think as Him. You know, we got to realize this. His desire is to bring us to the place of surrender in our life. And we got to realize that, listen, God, salvation is something personal. He deals with individuals. You know what? He'll deal with you specifically about salvation. He'll deal with you specifically about salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've used the illustration with Saul before, Saul of Tarsus. Mean man, hated Christians, had folks killed in the name of Christ because of what they preached and proclaimed. And yet he entered, he talked about he persecuted Christians until he got saved. You know what, when he got saved, the Bible said in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, that he was praying, in verse 18, that he was baptized, in verse 26, that he wanted to join himself with the other disciples, hang out with a different group. Amen, a different crowd. And yet, God used him to write 13 books of the New Testament. God can use you. Listen, it doesn't matter how bad. You may think, I'm just so, you don't know. I don't know and I don't care. God can use you this morning. Listen, God wants you to be a part of the family of God. Hey, His desire is this morning that you come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Miss Melissa, if you and Brother Bill would come with a song. You know what? God's desire this morning is that we surrender. Hey, is enough enough? Is enough enough? Have you had enough this morning? I mean, truly, have you had enough? Listen, I don't know what you're going through. I know some of you. You're in battles right now. I know that. I've met with some of you, and I've counseled with some of you, and I know where you are. I know you're hurting. You don't understand some things that's going on. things in your life. And probably reality, everybody probably has something going on in our lives that we may not understand. Let me say this. Listen, God's desire this morning is that we surrender to Him every part of our life. And you know what? Hey, I've learned this, that when I surrender to Him and I just do what He tells me to do, when He tells me to do it, it sure is a whole lot funner to be a Christian. You know what? Hey, we can live a life that's fun, happy, and glorious, and joyfully. We can, and that's His desires that we. He said, "Yeah, I came that you may have joy." He said, "My joy, my peace that I give you, not the peace of this world, but my peace." He said, "I give you." But I wonder how many this morning, hey, listen, would say, "Brother Greg, I'm tired. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of whatever's going on. I'm just tired. And this morning, I'm ready to surrender." I wonder how many would say that this morning. This is what I want us to do. Let's all stand up, bow our heads on anybody looking around. Please, out of the courtesy of everybody beside you, no looking around. Won't you just bow your heads? Won't you just bow your heads? And I want you to take right now, just think in your life. Think back, right? Just think where you are. And number one, I want to ask you this question. Hey, if you were to die right now, this very moment, if something were to happen to you and you draw your last breath, do you know without a shadow of a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, do you know that you would go to heaven? Nobody looking around, eyes closed, everybody heads down, okay? I want to ask you that question this morning. Do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? You know what? There's probably some in here that would say, you know what, Greg? That's me. That's me. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I don't think that I am, but I sure want to be this morning. Nobody looking around, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Well, just a moment. But if that's you this morning, would you just look at me? Would you just make eye contact with me? Nobody's looking around. With anybody? Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Anybody else this morning? We'll say, Brother Greg, that's me. I've never been saved. I know it, but I sure want to be this morning. I feel the Lord's dealing with my heart. Anybody else this morning? All right. Listen, just a minute. We're going to begin playing, and they're going to sing a song. Listen, I will not come to you in no way, shape, or form. I will never embarrass any of y'all. I will not. And I know several of you looked up here at me, you know what, and said, Brother Greg, I know that's me. And you know what, I'm going to give you an opportunity just as they play. And listen, when they start playing, I still want everybody to keep their eyes closed and their heads bowed. And you know what, and I want to ask you, those of you that looked at me, those of you that know that you're lost, listen, if you want to be saved this morning when we start playing, you know what, you can just slide out of your pew, come down here to the altar. And you know what, I can show you in God's Word how to be saved, okay? Listen, I won't embarrass you. I promise you, I will not embarrass you in no way, shape, or form. But you know what? This morning, I do believe with all my heart, you know what? The Lord wants to save some people. And listen, please, out of courtesy of everybody else, when we start playing, keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. All right, as we play, brother, as we play. Listen, if that's you this morning, you truly, truly, truly want to be saved, won't you just come down? Listen, nobody's going to be ashamed. I promise you that. Nobody would even know. Just be me and you. Hey, I can deal with you in this altar. You know what? And hey, we can make sure that you can leave today knowing without a shadow of a doubt that, hey, I'm going to heaven. Anybody? Anybody just want to step out? Anybody? Greatest thing that you could ever do is accept Christ.